Sora rubbed her left shoulder as she stood in front of Miami Beach Senior High's psychologist office. Miss Patterson wasn't there at the moment, and there was a reason for it. Dr. Mary Jernigan, a highly regarded psychiatrist specializing in teenage development, who her father hired, was currently borrowing the office to meet with her during school days, since the time suited Mary's schedule. Taking a deep breath, Sora's hand hovered over the blocked window, showing a chart with a happy face at the top and a frowny face at the bottom. When can I finally be through with all these people? No one helps me anyway. Sora slid off her backpack to drop it beside the couch, falling into the well-conditioned leather in silence. Mary gave her a small smile before it fell a tad as she scanned a thick clipboard filled with papers.
She's going to make me start. Ugh, always the same. There, I started. Happy?
Her psychiatrists were some of the few people she could actually be openly hostile with and not face many consequences. Mary puffed out a small stream of air before swapping her legs in the opposite direction and setting the documents to the side.
Good afternoon, Sora.
Mary's fingers unwound to pick up her clipboard again.
I don't think you're attention-seeking or cursed, Sora. Despite what I've read so far from Hallmark, Jones, and Mason, I think you've been severely overdiagnosed, so I'm taking you off all of your meds.
Mind coming to a screeching halt, Sora's eyebrows came together as she studied the unhappy psychiatrist.
Excuse me, I don't need to have Howie or Ron watch me take my meds anymore?
No, she promptly replied, flipping through a few pages of the thick stack of papers she was browsing.
And I notified all the concerned parties before our meeting. You're lying,
Sora snapped, unable to believe the abrupt change.
I've gone over your school history, the tests administered by your previous psychiatrists, their notes, interviewed hotel staff, your previous caretaker, and many statements you've made.
Not all of those are mine. Some are lies. I'm not making it up.
I believe you.
A shiver ran down Sora's spine at the declaration.
I've heard that before. You're just trying to trick me, to keep me calm.
One recurring theme I've seen in these files is a lack of foundation at the start for many of the medications they've put you on. Some I'm appalled at, and find the evidence given for their diagnosis quite lacking in regards to any of the DSM standards. Which is troubling, considering the reputation and standing I've heard of my esteemed colleagues. Tears forming in her eyes, Sora coughed.
I just want to go to a new school. I want to leave. Why do you doctors always convince my dad I need to stay here? That I'm lying and want attention?
A small puff of air came from Mary.
It's not a hard case to make. If I'm being honest, Sora, your father is away on business as a highly regarded financial consultant for Fortune 500 companies and is often away for months at a time between jobs. You refused any more caretakers after your previous one quit.
Nobody but Ron and Howie even try to understand. They're all so patronizing and bossy. I'm just this spoiled rich girl that doesn't deserve anything. No, I have to give people money or expensive stuff, and if I don't, they'll rip my clothes or put gum in my hair. What am I supposed to do?
Mary slowly nodded.
I'm not saying they were right, Sora. What I'm saying is that it isn't a hard case for someone to make. Your friend Wendy cut ties with you.
Kari! It was all Kari's bullying! Wendy didn't want to get involved with her! I don't blame her. No, everything is Kari's fault!
Lost in thought as she walked to the front entrance, she almost tripped when someone called out her name.
Sora? Done so soon?
Sucking on her bottom lip, Sora looked to her right to find Jenny leaning against the wall. Despite her popularity, most of the teenagers gave her nervous waves or cheerful quick greetings, obviously threatened by the girl. Having incredibly thick, long brown hair, Jenny usually tied it back into a ponytail, since she was the school's second-best athlete behind Kari. The tall girl was the Queen Bee's right-hand gal. If there was someone that had nearly as much influence as Kari, or made her life as much of a hell, it was a close toss-up between Jenny and Lori.
Jenny, yeah, what's up?
Pushing away from the wall, Sora was forced to look up at the giant girl, 185 centimeters tall, as she casually strode up to her. The brunette was intimidating for sure, at only slightly shorter than Kari, and as could be expected, she was wearing her gym clothes.
Yo, Kari wanted to see you.
Expecting as much, Sora tried to release the tension that tightened her chest, which felt impossible. Also, she knew if she resisted too much, it would only be worse tomorrow. Now was the game of mitigation.
Right now? Isn't it almost volleyball practice?
Jenny just snickered and slung her arm around her shoulder in a friendly way, guiding her toward the gym.
Teach is a bit busy, so we should have enough time for a short chat with the girls.
Perfect. What's Kari want?
Stuttering again, huh? Med's not working?
She joked, giving her a small smirk.
Bitch. Mary basically confirmed they're probably causing all of the problems. I guess not.
They stopped outside of the gym, a small, unreadable smirk on Kari's second-in-command's face, as she smacked Sora's butt to move forward, making her yelp. The bully probably did it on purpose because she was wearing a skirt. A few boys' eyes darted their way, making Sora blush while trying to restrain herself from rubbing the tingling area.
Ah!
Don't keep the boss lady waiting, flat ass. I'd love to see you meet up with your old pal again, but I got somewhere to be.
Hesitantly moving through the closed double doors to escape a second threatening slap, Sora hissed out a large stream of air as they closed behind her. Tingles ran along Sora's spine when a girl on the opposite side locked it with a key only the janitors were supposed to have. As she feared, the only janitor she knew was standing a short distance away. Wendy, her old best friend, who worked part-time for the school. Just as everything went quiet, a twinkle appeared in Lori's brown eyes, her vision shifting between them.
Oh, I know what our little fox's punishment should be, Kari.
Sora felt like she'd been punched in the gut. Out of everyone, Lori was the worst. Even worse than Kari in some respects. She'd been the one to suggest butchering her hair, to begin with.
Should I buy everyone clothes?
Sora stammered, trying to get ahead of it.
How kind of you!
Lori cooed, getting up to move behind the nearby lockers to pull out Wendy's janitor trash can with its supplies in pouches on the side.
We can do that on Saturday with your new fashion statement!
A lump formed in Sora's throat as she extracted a pair of scissors.
Again?
Kari rolled her eyes. Lori, I'm not feeling like...
Just give me a chance.
Lori defended, flexing the blades with a bright grin. And Sora wondered if she'd jump forward to stab her as her eyes twinkled.
I know it needs to be worse than before. She won't get the lesson otherwise, so...
Worse?
Sora choked, reaching up to grip her copper locks.
Our little fox's hair grows too fast anyway, so... Why not do the hair and clothes this time?
Huh?
Sora squeaked, eyes going wide.
You can't. If I go back...
We'll give you a towel.
Lori scoffed, wearing a big grin, as if that was the issue.
We gotta make it stick. And what better way to do that than showing everyone just how crazy you are?
She's the devil. You're the crazy one,
Sora internally shouted, knowing pushing Lori would only dig her a deeper hole through experience.
Please, don't do this to me, Kari,
Sora cried, attempting to supersede Lori's insanity as her face turned red and her nose burned.
I can't go out naked.
Towel,
Lori sang in response, pulling out the white article from her locker that would just barely cover her top and bottom. If it was windy or she stumbled, the embarrassment would kill her for life, and she knew there would be girls following to take pictures. Wendy's hands tightened at her front, nervous gaze darting to her.
No, don't do it, Wendy. They might make you join me,
Sora internally cried.
Isn't that a bit much?
Lori's smile faded, pointed eyes drifting to her.
Did you say something, garbage collector?
Wendy's eyes shot to the floor, fingernails digging into her stomach, unable to respond.
That's what I thought. Well, Kari, you saw how she reacted. Is that a worthy punishment for that phone call you got?
Realizing she was quaking, her focus darted to Kari as the alpha bully dumped cold water on her head.
No.
No?
Lori blinked.
I was sure you'd be willing to do that. What's on your mind?
Kari rolled around her head and streamed out a hot puff of air that Sora believed she could feel on the back of her neck. I'm sick of this game, Lori. You and Jenny keep convincing me to let her stay, but I'm not having fun.
What? Lori and Jenny convince her to let me stay? Kick me out!
Sora wanted to scream.
Let me leave!
Lori's fingers curled into a fist at her side, vision wandering back to the bent-over black-haired girl.
What are you saying, Kari?
Sora's whole body went numb as Kari spoke. It's a little harsher than what I was thinking, Lori, but we'll go with your suggestion this one last time.
Last?
Lori whispered. The hums and mumbled words of the surrounding girls died at the statement. Kari's bright amber gaze iced. I'm finished with this game. After today, I want you to leave, Sora. For good. Lori choked.
Wait, what? But think of...
She cut off as Kari's stern glare slid to her, making all the girls shiver at Kari's intensity. She was serious. It was a look that said, challenge me one more time and see what happens. Kari's focus slowly returned to Sora. I'll give you a week to set everything up. Homeschool, transfer schools, leave the state, I don't care. I want your foul stench of an existence out of Miami Beach Senior High by the end of the week. Period. She stood, her penetrating, frigid stare making Sora quake with fear, as an aura of imminent danger cascaded like ice through her bones. The girl looked 4 meters tall, towering over her. If you stay. Kari trailed off with a murderous look of contempt before leaving the locker room, carrying the crushing atmosphere with her. And don't make a scene, Sora. I'm pissed as it is. Sora finally managed to choke for air with every other girl present, including Lori, at a loss for time for several seconds.
Shit.
Lori cleared her throat before walking around the girls to face her, one hand on her hip
and looking more agitated than Sora had ever seen the psychopath.
Hmph, guess Kari couldn't help herself. Yua really did piss her off. Honestly, I'm shocked she was that civil. Damn it.
Aiden hung up from his tense phone call, and Sora launched right into the heated topic, unable to believe she actually felt bad for Kari.
Eric, that monster! Does what? To his sister? If Kari gets out of line, just tear off a few limbs? What kind of sick family is this?
Aiden rubbed his phone against his forehead, whispering,
"You can be an angel of mercy, or give in to hate. With a million lies that rise to tear you apart, as someone once said, it's a brutal world out there, Sora. And you can't compare a human cultural way of life with a child of Fenrir. Judge, jury, and executioner. I'd expect you to know more about that, though. It's in here."
Sora's eyebrows drew together as she followed his gaze to an alley, hearing what appeared to be a hideaway restaurant off the grid. She imagined it was a monster hotspot of some kind, because magic kept the alleyway hidden.
"Didn't you have one more call?"
"I don't have to speak to Devin yet. Let him run a while longer."
He sighed, trying to add a smile.
"I'd much rather get to know you, though. Would you humor me? I know it's a lot to ask."
"I suppose you know I'm a Vulpes founder. Wait, you said I have the same unique wave as Kari, so are Kari and Eric founders, or whatever it is?"
she asked, piecing together that Vulpes was an identifier for a fox that was attached to Founder, meaning there had to be founders of all types.
"Is Fenrir the wolf founder?"
"Wow, you really don't know?"
Aiden questioned, leading them to the grungy door before opening it and offering her to enter first.
"No. Oh, this place is actually pretty nice."
The interior was something out of a Michelin 3-star restaurant, complete with waiters and waitresses. The black and gold design was classy, and unusual monsters like fish people, giant lobsters, and bird people sat at the spelled tables.
"Master Aiden, it is a pleasure to see you return to Florida,"
a feminine dolphin woman said, moving to address them.
"Table for three?"
"No, Eric's not in town for another few days."
"I see. This way."
"Yo, Jay. What's up? Safe flight? Things good?"
Irish accent deepening with his growing agitation with himself, Jarlath sighed.
"Yeah, it was good, but I'm gonna need you to get in contact with Dr. Mary Jernigan, Sora's new psychiatrist. We probably will be going to court against her previous doctors for malpractice, among other things. I want answers."
"Oh, okay, got it. War it is, then?"
"If what I've been told is true."
Jarlath sucked in his bottom lip, taking a deep breath.
"Yeah, it's going to get ugly."
"Top priority, then. Just FYI, you got a second?"
Shifting to look down the hall at the host of people, moving to the exit, he rubbed his neck and cleared his throat.
"Sora's probably waiting for me. What's up?"
Yeah, actually, it has to do with Sora."
"Go on,"
he muttered, eyebrows drawing in as he stood again, unable to sit.
"So, Sora actually called me really early today, like we're talking 2 a.m. or something insane, telling me she was picked up by Homeland."
"Homeland?"
"Yeah, Homeland. Not just that, but she was probably going to be arrested. For what, I don't know, but she didn't tell me when I called her back this morning."
Jarlath's mind froze, and he straightened.
"You're joking."
"I wish, man, but I called down to my buddies at the station, and they said she hadn't been booked yet."
"But?"
he pressed, hearing the catch in the man's throat.
"Yeah, I asked them to keep an ear out for a red-haired girl around 15, and one got back to me. Apparently, Homeland was at the station, and it's being kept on the low. Someone also mentioned a lieutenant by the name of Nathan that ordered one of his men to take someone with Sora's description to this bizarre ice field that sprung up at the beach. He spotted her again with a blonde girl later when he was on patrol. I don't know, man. It's weird.
You're telling me. I don't know any blondes that Sora would be close to, he muttered. Wendy had brown hair. And the psychiatrist had told him she wasn't making any new friends after her best friend betrayed her. The bastards had all said she had to work through the hurt, and she placed all the blame on everyone besides Wendy as a coping mechanism. Then again, they could have reconnected, and Wendy might have bleached her hair. That could be the surprise his daughter mentioned. Girls their age usually went through hair color phases.
Thanks, T. He breathed, trying to release the tension in his chest as he came to the escalators. By the way, huge deal. I think I'm retiring to spend more time with Sora, which means more golfing trips.
Big!
Tom chuckled. So the whole South Korea thing went through, huh? I'm happy for ya. Now celebrate with your daughter, eh? Even though it's her birthday in like 25 hours. Later, Jay. He hung up. Laughing again. Jarlath tucked his phone back into his suit pocket, scanning the crowd as he entered the flow of traffic to descend to the ground level. His green eyes fixated on Sora upon seeing her, smiling and waving with a big sign, welcoming him home. She wasn't alone.
Dad! Dad! Welcome home!
A tall blonde girl was waving and smiling with her as Wendy shuffled awkwardly on the opposite side. But the thing that scattered all thought in his head was the flash of light that revealed fox ears and made the sign vanish for a moment. Sora grinned, pointing at the two twitching appendages before the sign reappeared, and the ears disappeared. He blinked, but he knew it wasn't some trick of his mind. Things were worse than he thought. Dodging past a few people, he made his way over to his daughter, trying to come up with something to say.
Sora.
Dad, this is Aya, and you know Wendy, so maybe we should talk?
She asked, while stepping forward to hug him. Weirdly, the blonde stepped up to pat him on the shoulder.
I wish to hear of your stories of the battlefield, Father of Sora.
Excuse me?
Sora's laugh became strained.
Aya, he didn't come from that kind of battlefield. Sorry, Dad, she's new to, this world, I guess?
A chill ran over his arms at the implication. He returned the hug and collected himself, nodding toward the brunette beside them.
Wendy, Aya, Sora, I think we should talk alone. We'll drop your friends off at their homes on the way back.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Sora mumbled. And suddenly her illusions dropped for him, though the crowd didn't seem to notice.
I guess you did know I would turn into a Vulpes founder. Yeah, sorry, Wendy. Aya, call you tomorrow about my birthday?
Aya's head bobbed, and Jarlath couldn't help but notice how tall she was. She was practically as tall as him.
I have the magical phone for contacting. Thank you, sister.
Sister?
He thought in alarm. They certainly did have a lot to discuss.